He's not responding. Probably he's taking his time off.
Okay.
And he said that he forgot where did he store the data.
Okay. Okay, I see.
And Luis has only information about the HTTP traces, and he doesn't know much about the benchmark, how the benchmark.
But did you understand my email that the IO traces don't help us at all?
No.
Yeah.
No, I got the HTTP trace.
You got the web log. No, the HTTP log?
HTTP log.
Okay.
That's very important. Log is, right?
Yeah, that's very important. So, then, so there are two other things. One is the
data set.
The web server. So you had to set up Apache.
Yeah, that I can do. Yeah.
And configure Apache to use that data set. And then you need the client-side scripts because
that will actually generate the log.
No, that will replay the log.
Oh, replay the log.
So you have a log of web requests, right? HTTP, www.cs.fiu.
It's not HTTP, it's some files in...
What?
It's some files in the department server.
But all the entries inside the file should be each, it's access log, right?
Access log.
So the access log contains these URLs. So each line is a URL that was requested by some client somewhere in the world.
Okay.
What we need to do is to, those are the requests that the web server has handled
before.
During that time.
Okay.
Okay, so each access log will also, the file will also come with a timestamp. Okay, so you know which date it was created, which that will give you an idea when those web requests were made.
Mm-hmm.
Now what we need to do is to make those web requests again on our
setup,
our mirror web server that we create that looks like the CS web server.
Okay.
So first of all, it will not be www.cs.fiu.edu because if you replay the trace as is, it will go to our main web server.
Okay. Then I think I have the HTTP access log because it is without the HTTP or www or the URL.
Okay. So the URLs are gone?
URLs are gone.
So, but only the file names are there?
File names are there.
Oh, the relative path names.
Relative path names.
Okay. That makes sense. Now because... You don't need the first part of it because it's common.
No, it's not absolute path, it's a relative.
Yeah, so relative path would be, instead of www.cs.fiu, your vm1.cs.fiu.edu/that relative path because your web server will be running on vm1. Right? So that's the basic idea. So that will create the same load that is observed by our department web server on vm1.
So the client script will actually do the replay.
The client script will do the replay of the web.
And what
will
the monitor in the client script?
The client script monitors response times. For each request, it knows what is the response time from the server.
Okay.
Yeah. So George is, so you said that George is busy. Yeah, I know that he's wrapping up things in Almaden. So yeah, he might actually. Yeah, if he has forgotten,
he can help once he comes within a moment, I think.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I think.
So for the time being, I was doing this detailed study of this paper, the EuroSys paper. It seems that they did almost the same thing as we are proposing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what they talk about is that automated control of multiple virtualized resources, and they say they only focused on CPU and disk. So what they do is that they figure out a way to distribute the resources in a proper way to all the virtual machines across different physical nodes.
Okay.
So how they and what is their objective? Their objective is that to meet the service level objective at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's broken due to resource context, they do it in a fashion so that the higher priority resources get lesser threat and lower priority resources get higher degradation. That's their objective.
Mm-hmm. I see. So when you say higher priority resources...
Higher priority applications receive
greater
priority or
more resources
and lower priority applications receive lower amount of resources in times of resource contest.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, they will have the resource allocations in a, or whatever the resource allocations they need, they will be allocated to the application.
Mm-hmm. So the key is under contention, what happens?
It's under resource contention. Even if it's not in contention, you have to understand what is the application need at that time.
Right.
Because of the dynamic nature of the application.
Mm. So what is their primary technique for estimating resource needs?
They use some control theory equation. It's a linear equation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a progressive equation, like it has a parameter that it folds the need at certain interval.
Mm.
And they update the equation during the interval.
Mm. So there's online refinement of the equation.
The equation is designed for online refinement.
But it's a linear equation.
Yeah.
Where is the equation in the paper? Now, in this, A1, A2 are the resources?
A1, A2 are the coefficients.
Correlation coefficients. I see. And then where are the resources in here?
Resources are U. U stands for resource. So they compute as a vector.
Okay.
And Y is the performance.
Oh. But there is also, I see. They also use previous performance.
Exactly.
At k minus 1 to estimate the performance at k. It's called autoregressive moving average model. So they have multiple vectors. BI are vectors of coefficients capturing the correlation between the current performance and the recent resource allocation. Current performance and the recent resource allocation. And then UI are common vectors. Resource to an application UA and its normalized performance by hat of A. Let's see. So we certainly missed this in the related work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is bad because some reviewer might just say, well, you missed a very important piece of related work. When was this published, by the way?
Last year in UGC.
Last year? It's 2008?
2008. I think their goal is very similar to us.
The goal seems similar.
Maybe the approaches are different. But we have to defend them.
Why we use our approach. Now, these are resource allocations, not utilizations.
They are allocations.
They are allocations of CPU and disk?
CPU and disk.
So how do they control allocation of disk? Do they talk about that?
Yeah, that's a proportional IO scheduler. That is implemented by Ajay Kudulati. That's another paper.
And so this is also a paper by Ajay Gulati?
No, he's not there.
But there's another guy from VMware in there.
No, actually Ajay implemented it while he was interning in HP.
Oh, I see.
So HP used it.
I see. Okay. So proportional IO scheduler.
And CPU is the same, because it's a great scheduler.
Proportional IO scheduler. That addresses the contention issue?
That I have to check, yeah.
I guess that, yeah. I mean, at a high level, if there is a lot of contention, you cannot, in some sense, you're not allocating a certain bandwidth to the disk. You're just allocating a certain portion or a fraction of the total bandwidth being used by the disk. Right?
But I'm not sure. I mean, unless I look into the paper detail, it's hard to say.
Mm. I mean, one of the things, if we want to go in this direction, is also in our model take into account the past performance of the application to estimate the future performance.
No, that we have to go anyway. Once we have to do the algorithm.
Mm.
I mean, just in the model you are saying.
No, I'm trying to think in terms of prediction. So when we use the model for prediction. So I guess what you're saying is to update the model itself so that when each time you use the model for prediction, you always get the up-to-date estimate.
Mm-hmm.
So at a certain point in time, let's say 1 hour ago, with the same input parameters, you get a certain output parameter. And 1 hour later, you might get a different output estimate because the model was updated in the meanwhile, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's sort of similar to what they're doing because they are basing their estimate of the future based on the
current
performance.
Current performance and current resource allocation.
Current performance and how it is related to the current resource allocation. So I guess one thing which we need to do is to make a list of differences between this work and our approach. And first of all, completely disregarding this work, we should make a list of contributions.
Yeah, I have actually made some list of challenges that we have to achieve. I mean, even if we disregard this.
Okay.
The paper.
List of challenges is certainly important. The other list we need to create is a list of contributions, and then so that we have sort of an exhaustive list of contributions, and then we need to take this work into account and refine those lists of contributions and also make a list of differences between our work and their work. If then we have a convincing case, we should proceed with our direction. Else, we should abandon that direction and think about something.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Do you agree with that? I think, going in this direction is not a 2-month effort. It's probably a longer effort. And before we get into that direction, I think we have to be really smart about this, right? And I think what we have to be careful about is to not pick a direction where we can be easily compared against other people. And people might criticize saying that, well, why should I use what you are saying?
Well, one thing I found else? That our objective is to maximize this so that it's profitable in each step.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, what is the goal here?
The goal here is to normally allocate resources. If there are more, if there is resources, just go ahead and allocate resources. And their service level objective is very simple: is that you have a performance, the target performance, you have the metric of the performance, and priority. That's their service level agreement.
Can I add another layer to this work to say mapping from service level objective to revenue?
Yeah, that's
and map it to this other problem. Is that possible?
I think it's possible, because then you can say, okay, this is the target performance metric and this is the achieved performance metric. Then we transfer the achieved performance metric to some cost in dollars. And then you sum across all this to say that, okay, I got something. And our goal will be to maximize this summation
some of the
profit,
revenue.
Some of the revenue.
No, I'm just trying to see if this research can be used for that problem. And can I, like in some simple way, add another layer of mapping from SLO to revenue and use the same technique for maximizing overall revenue? Or is
we could do that, but thing is that then people will say that, okay, it's a simple optimization problem.
No, I know. I'm going through that exercise just to estimate what could be the comments for our independent work. Okay, so if we take this direction that we have been discussing so far, which is SLA-based profit maximization, some reviewer might say, well, but this thing almost does the same thing. And all you need to do is to add another layer and you would have it. So why didn't you compare against this work or something like that? Right? So that's why I want us to go through the exercise of trying to figure out if this work can be used to solve the same problem that we are trying to solve. Think about it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the goal may be the same, but we can have different approaches, right? Anyway, to achieve the same goal, we can have different approaches.
Yeah, we can have different approaches, but for the paper to be published, the case that we'll have to make is that our approach is superior than the existing approach. And the easiest way to do that is to actually implement both approaches and say, okay, here is that approach and here is our approach, and this is what we could do that. The question is, for this approach, what do we need? Can this approach be generalized to for the problems that we are trying to solve? Can we use it for the problems that we are trying to solve? That's why I said that, is there a direct mapping from SLOs to revenue that will allow the use of this research for solving the SLM based revenue maximization problem? If there is, then this is one point for comparison against our approach. Sometimes it is useful to have a point for comparison, because then you can show contrasting contributions. Right? So if we are able to maximize SLA substantially more than this approach, then there is a reason for publishing that paper. But if not, then we waste a whole lot of time. If there is not too much difference in what this can achieve and what we are achieving, then it is hard to get it published. So for us to think about comparison, we have to first figure out how to use this work to solve the same problem. The way the problem is you described and the way I'm reading it right now, it is not solving the same problem exactly that we are trying to solve. It is just trying to maximize the SLO, or
it's just, you can say that an automated approach towards distribution of resources in a virtualized environment.
For meeting SLO objectives.
For meeting SLO objectives.
that doesn't mean revenue maximization immediately.
No.
So can the same approach be used for revenue maximization? The first question is, can I somehow translate revenue maximization to achieving certain SLO objectives? Because I know that this approach can solve that second problem. It can meet specified SLO objectives. If I know what are the SLO objectives that lead to maximization of revenue, then I can use this approach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But this approach does not guarantee that it would meet all SLO objectives. Right? Is you may just not have the resources to meet all SLO objectives. In that case, certain SLO objectives may not be met. Correct? Is my understanding correct?
Mm-hmm.
And in case the certain SLO objectives are not met, then how do you prioritize?
First we have to talk about what do you mean by SLO objective. Because what they mean by SLO objective is highly achieved by their approach, highly achieved by their technique. So if we come up with an argument that SLO is not simple as that, SLO can be more complex, then their approach may fail.
So what is the SLO definition here?
It's just, so as I told, it's just target performance metric,
mm-hmm.
the metric of the performance,
mm-hmm.
and priority.
Priority.
Priority is some ratio.
Well, I see. Okay. So do you want to talk about the list that you made?
Yes. So first thing is
these are a list of challenges.
Yeah.
For our approach.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So first is, of course, that automatic an automated or adaptive model estimator which will capture application performance metric with resource allocation.
So this is about online updating.
Online updating, and so this is what we did in the modeling is that I give the resource allocation and it predicts the performance. So think about that. Okay, this is a automated model, so it changes as the application performance changes, and it gives a performance metric based on resource allocation. But my concern is that how we back calculate it. I mean, how we can say that, okay, this is the allocation I need, and sorry, this is the performance I need, so what are the allocations I can achieve?
Mm. Do we need to solve that problem in the first place, that I need a certain performance?
I think the way that all the modeling tools, I mean, all the papers work is that first, independently, you calculate the application allocation need.
You mean performance need?
I mean, for example, an application said, okay, I need an X amount of throughput. So, okay, what to achieve this, what should be the allocation, resource mm-hmm. allocation?
Now, my question is that to solve the revenue maximization problem, is the first step, okay, I want to maximize revenue, therefore, the performance for each VM should be such and such, right? So VM1 should get 100 requests per second, VM2 should get 1000 requests per second. Based on those assignments, I know that my revenue is going to be maximized. Is that the direction you're thinking in? That I have a goal of revenue maximization, and I back calculate, first of all, because of that goal, VM1 should get so much throughput, VM2 should get, and then I figure out, can that actually be done or not? Can I meet those performance metrics or not? Like, that's the question. Maybe I cannot meet those performance objectives. Maybe I can meet for VM1 and VM2, but I cannot meet for VM3 because VM3 doesn't have sufficient resources remaining.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to sort of a recursive computation, right? So your goal is SLA maximization or profit maximization. Then I guess one of the things that that you need to do then is identify those applications which give you the most revenue for the least amount of resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for those VMs, you probably want to give as much resources as they can consume. But it is possible that those VMs do not consume much resources. Maybe the request rate is so low that they don't need much resources at all. So you also have to be careful not to overcommit resources to them more than what they can actually use. So is there a way to sort of order the applications by the cost benefit, by doing a cost benefit analysis to say the benefit that I'm getting per resource
or per unit amount of resource,
per unit amount of resource per application is so and so. So I have a table of sorts. And then I sort of sort it out and go for, you know, greedy approach. But then you have to be careful because there might be some minimum SLO objectives beyond which performance degrades the revenue degrades substantially. There might be some SLO objectives that are step functions or some sort of non-linear functions that, okay, if you keep giving more performance, the revenue that you're going to get linearly increases, but below a certain performance, your revenue is zero. You don't make any money at all because you have to meet that certain minimum, right? So this sort of non-linear SLA
or overestimation, that those sort of things are also being
overestimation is also important because there might be a range. Okay, I only desire performance from here to here. You give me more than that, I'm not going to pay you any more money, right?
And also the rewards, and I mean we have to ensure that at least some amount of resources should be allocated to all the applications.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lower threshold.
Yeah.
For them, for an application.
Yeah, that is solved by the minimum SLO SLA requirement.
Okay.
Right. Because I need at least 100 requests per second coming through. I need my average request latency to be at most half a second.
Okay.
Cannot be more than half a second. If my request latencies are more than half a second, my average request latency is more than half a second, I'm not going to pay you any more money. I'm not going to pay you any money at all. So that's possible. So those sort of agreements are certainly possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are real agreements. So, I mean, in some sense, what you have is it's like a, you know, you can make this SLA graph, right, where the x-axis you have SLA, I shouldn't say SLA, but rather I should say performance metrics, maybe it is throughput, maybe it's response time, whatever may be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So lesser is worse and higher is better,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is dollars that you make. Okay, so this is a SLA function. Now, so you need to supply if the performance metric is below a certain value, you do not make any money at all. So you have to deliver at least so much to start making some money.
No, but you can argue that, okay, the money we lost in that case maybe substituted by another.
It is possible, but there is also a question of goodwill, right?
Okay.
So one thing which we can say is that this is going in this range is completely unacceptable, right?
Because
I think that's
real. That's a real scenario, maybe.
Yeah. So then I have a function that, you know, immediately jumps. Once you meet, you're going to make at least so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then for different services, I mean, this level is going to be different, of course. And this threshold is also going to be different. But this is a general curve that we can assume. Then beyond this point, you have some sort of increasing function but it starts leveling off beyond a certain point.
At some point.
At some point, right? So, and then beyond the second point, there is no more benefit. Okay, so I can deliver way more performance, but I get the same amount. So some sort of SLA curve like this can be defended.
Yeah. So this SLA curve can be different for different applications.
These SLA curves can be different. There may be some applications that might just be, you know, linear. There might be some applications that give way more importance to the initial part and so on. So those curves can look quite different. But we can assume an SLA curve that looks like.
You can defend it reasonably. I think Kaushik is the expert for these kinds of questions, but I won't be surprised if he agrees with this.
It would be good to have or have an access to a SLA, right? Real SLA.
I think Kaushik might be able to help us with that.
Yes.
So, I mean, one thing which you could do
even
is
draw this graph,
and I mean, we could or we could talk about it whenever he returns.
But
if you want
SLA, what I assume is that when you assume the dynamic nature of the application, you assume that the target performance metric is also different across different times.
Usually, that's not the case. Usually that's not the case. There is a single SLA curve. And then the performance metric is expressed in a couple of different ways. One is the request per second, right, in terms of throughput, or it could be in terms of latency.
Yeah, but it follows some fixed number.
It is this curve, right?
No, it has this curve, but if you think it as all those papers, it's some number. It's a fixed number.
Yeah. For this paper, I think they're assuming a fixed number. That there is a certain request per second that you have to satisfy for a specific application. Like, that is the end.
Then, even if the, let's say they say that, okay, our base, let's talk about the threshold, lower threshold.
Mm-hmm.
Our base target is 100 requests per second.
Yeah.
Right. So it may be possible that the client machine is not under stress at all. It's completely idle and it receiving 10 requests per second. But we have to provide resources for 100 per second even in that case.
No, you don't, because then you might go to a different kind of performance metric under such a situation. So you might go for latency. So if there are no requests coming in, how can I deliver 100 requests per second?
Exactly.
There might be some minimum value. There might be. So what you're saying in some sense is that this is not as simple as having a single performance metric. Maybe as long as I meet a secondary objective, as if the load of the system is small, then I still get some money, some fixed amount of money. Right? So I think that's true, but that makes it much more complex. What we can make an assumption that there is always enough number of requests to satisfy the minimum.
Okay.
And that's, I think, reasonable
assumption to make. Production.
I think it's a reasonable assumption. And then if that assumption doesn't hold in a production environment, which it might not, in that case, we can say that the SLA only changes very minimally to take into account the special case. That in the special case, you go for the latency as a metric as opposed to request per second.
Is it SLA, is the agreement is always in turn once at a time, I believe. I mean, it's not as
changing. It doesn't keep changing.
Keep changing it at 1 hour or 2 hours, it's impossible.
My previous conversations with Kaushik, I think I remember him telling me that SLAs can get quite complex. The descriptions can get somewhat complex, but that's one-time agreement. So this is a simplified view of an SLA, is what my estimate would be, the one I drew on the board. But if you want to write a paper, we cannot go for all that complexity. I mean, even with this simple thing,
no, it's very complex.
I mean, yeah, this is complex. Yeah, but I think compared to reality, this is simple.
Yeah, but
it could be simple. That's my estimate.
But we are making at least more complex SLO than they proposed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just sent out an email to Jay and CCDU.
Okay.
So the list of
Yeah.
Give us leads, right?
Yeah.
I'm asking about the
leads. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So, I think, I don't know if you can solve even with this one, or maybe we need to simplify it further.
No, probably in that case our goal will be different.
Goal would be different, yeah. I mean, the goal...
I was being biased by all those papers. I mean, that's why I was talking about the back calculation, but probably we don't need any back calculation.
I think we would still need back calculation even with this. There's some other, maybe, I don't know if there is a closed form or an analytical solution to something like this. Because remember that for each VM and each application, we have such a curve, right? And I'm going to get different dollars at different points of the curve. I have to pick a point on each of those curves that is going to maximize the overall revenue. Given that I have a fixed amount of resources, and we're not even talking about resources here.
Not necessarily. I mean, you could say that for an application A, I choose this point.
Mm-hmm.
And for an application B, I choose
this point. For each SLA, you could have you could choose a different point. But I'm saying for each SLA,
but
you have to choose one point.
Our global maximization is, we are globally maximized, we are fine.
Yes. That's exactly right. So we could choose different points on the curve for different applications, but you have to choose exactly one point for each application.
That's true.
Right? I cannot say, well, I'm going to choose in this range or something. I pick one point and go for that performance metric and allocate resources to achieve that performance metric. Right? Now, I don't know how to do it immediately. It's not obvious to me that given all these SLA curves, how do I, and the other thing, so the SLA curves is one piece of input. The second piece of input is all these performance models, right, where you have resource allocation as input parameter and performance as an output parameter, right? Well, actually, the input parameter is more complex than just resource allocation. It's resource allocation and competition.
Mm-hmm.
So then, assuming that if you change allocation for a different VM, the competition will change, then the model for the other VMs also have to be changed. Right? So that in terms of competition, it gets more complex. And there might be, for us, an opportunity to differentiate ourselves. Right? Because if you allocate certain resources for a VM, the amount of I/O it does is going to change. If I allocate only 5% CPU, the amount of I/O that application will do will potentially be substantially reduced for an I/O intensive application, as opposed to if I were to allocate 50% CPU. We do a lot more I/O. So what is the consequence of that? The other VMs have either very less or a lot of I/O computation. I mean, do we take that into account in this maximization or overall maximization? I don't see it in an obvious way, right? It's not trivial to address that. So in some sense, what they are doing is meeting SLO objectives, and different applications have priorities, so when there is contention, they choose based on priority.
Mm-hmm.
You can argue that it can be potentially be used to approximate profit maximization in the case where there is a simple linear dependency of performance metric to revenue. But with a curve like this, this approach does not directly apply because you have a more complex dependency. So maybe that's in that way, we can differentiate our work from this previous work. So what are the other challenges you listed?
Another challenge is the cost model, that the transferring performance metric to the price is $16.
That's something that
this curve does. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now what we should probably do is agree upon this SLA curve. And one thing which you might want to do is to make a figure, and because Kaushik, I don't know when he's going to return. You know when he's going to
return? Next week.
Next week, okay. So either we can wait until next week and then discuss this after he returns, or if you want, you can put it in some draft and get some feedback from him over email. I'll leave that up to you.
Yeah, I would do that. So another thing actually I didn't know, I just mentioned is that does that start target performance metric change over time, or my question was if the SLA changes over time, but apparently it is not.
I think that's a reasonable assumption to make, that the SLA doesn't change over time, but the target performance can change over time, because under the current situation it may be that the best point on the curve for this application is the lowest point, but at a different point in time later on when there is less contention of resources, maybe you want to move up in the curve.
Okay.
So the target performance metric can change over time.
Mm-hmm.
Within a dynamic environment,
confused between two, the target performance metric and the SLA. I thought that if because even in this paper, the target performance metric may change over time,
mm-hmm.
changes over time. So I thought that means the SLA change over time,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, it's two different entities.
Yeah, that's true.
So another thing is that how do you represent the SLA tuple?
Mm. Once again, this curve may be something that has, but I mean, you brought up an important issue, which is what if the request rate is below the level for achieving the minimum revenue? There are some special cases that we don't consider in this curve.
Now my another question is, should we always maximize profit, or we only do it in the resource contention? But I think we are going for SLA maximization at any point.
At any point, yes. And if you're concerned about fairness, then that significant, that lower limit, which is that we have to deliver at least so much
to any application.
To any application that addresses.
Now the last phase will be to find an algorithm that maximizes the cost.
Maximize the revenue.
Maximize the revenue.
Yeah. That's the part that I still haven't imagined how it would work in my head yet. But this curve might be a start, and maybe you can start thinking independently about various possibilities. I expect that would be some sort of it's an optimization problem, right? Where you can change different things, and then you get one way to do it is brute force, right? I try all possible resource allocations, and because I have a model that converts resource allocation to performance and another model that converts performance to revenue, I try all these different possibilities and I pick the one that gives me the maximum revenue.
Yeah, that's a case. That's
the brute force.
Mm-hmm.
Possibility, but there is some caveats that we are not really thinking about, because when we change resource allocation for a different application, we are forced to change one of the contention parameters or two of the contention
mm-hmm.
parameters, because I change the resource allocation here, contention for this guy is going to change, and then the performance that is going to appear as a consequence for this application, although you didn't change any of the resource allocation, is going to be completely different. So that is the part that I think will, I think in our previous paper, IO contention is the one that separates our stuff out from the other. And again, here, I think it will again be in taking into account IO contention as a first class citizen, which will help us separate out in this case also. Because now the problem becomes non-trivial, completely non-trivial. Even the brute force solution doesn't work. And it's try all possibilities, right? Well, for one, I cannot really choose a contention value. Contention value is an observed parameter. I cannot change it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I need to figure out, well, what is the contention for each VM as I change the resource allocations of the other VMs, right? And take into account the impact of that change in contention each time I change something.
Yes,
so that's hard. I think
I don't see an immediately even a brute force solution that would actually address this. And that might be something that will separate us out from this paper and some of the other papers. At the same time, we can also look at the whole problem as a, you know, as a induction, you know, a step of induction. Mm-hmm. Assuming that I already solved it for the previous time step, how do I solve it for the next time? And then figure out a way to bootstrap, right? Now, there might be alternate ways to deal with this problem, to say, okay, I'm doing random assignment to bootstrap, but that each iterative step...
Or we can go for an equal to partitioning of resources.
Equal partitioning resources, that's also possible. And then I'm going towards profit maximization at each interval or each... at each point in time and reallocate the resources. The goal is that my each time I reallocate resources
is better than the
is better than the previous one. But it might not always be the case, because if the load drops substantially, then my revenue cannot be high because I don't have enough requests to serve any. So that might not always hold. But it might hold a different condition might hold, which is the revenue per resource should always be either equal to the previous one or better. The revenue per unit of resource allocated. That might be a metric that is worth using in an inductive mechanism, in an iterative mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this certainly needs more thought, and I would encourage you to think more deeply about this problem, and maybe today's discussion will start you going along some, you know, think, feel free to think adventurously and ambitiously in using many different approaches, because at this point I really don't have any strong intuition about any specific technique working out the best way, because, and that is a good sign typically. That means that the problem is non-trivial, right? We know that the problem is novel because very few, you know, no one has really solved it, right? And we know that it is useful to have a solution. So, knowing that there is no non-trivial solution can be a positive. That would also make this a challenging problem to work on.
Okay.
So why don't you think about it and let's get this approved by Kaushik, because I think this. You know, having an SLA curve approved by him is important because he has a lot more experience with SLA and stuff. So you know what is reasonable to assume and what is not. I think this is reasonable, but I may be wrong about something in that curve. Simultaneously brainstorm possible ideas for the algorithm itself, which is probably the last step that you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other challenges are reasonably addressed after today's discussion, and we'll address everything after we hear back from Kaushik.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do you want to do? When do you want to meet next?
Fine, next Monday will be fine.
Next Monday?
Okay. Or maybe Kaushik returns Monday, so he wants to meet him any other day of the week. That will be.
Okay.
Let's postpone this until I will write an email then.
Okay, why don't you send an email and hopefully, Josh told me that he'll be back on August 20th, which is this Friday, this Thursday.
Yeah, but by Monday probably he's coming to lab regularly. Sure.
Okay, so...
So let's meet him next Thursday then.
Okay, alright, I think that's fine.
I think by the time everybody will be here.
Okay.
So I will work on, until Josh comes, I will work on some kind of view of the algorithm.
Hmm.
I
mean, if you want to brainstorm before that, we can set up a meeting too. I'll be here on Thursday and then
I'll be back on Thursday.
Fine. But it's up to you. I mean, if you think that you're moving forward or if you're completely stuck, then we should, or
I'll think about it in 2 days and let's try to do it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So send me an email whenever you want to meet me.
Okay. I'll be here on Thursday.